Damon.com studios, high atop the San Francisco skyline. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Great to be along with you. One more interesting note from this Patrick Marleau debut goal. It was assisted by Austin Matthews, who was 15 days old when Marleau debuted with the Sharks in 1997.
That's crazy.
Wow. That's amazing. You're born in 97. You're playing professional hockey right now.
God.
You know what I was doing in 1997? Graduating college.
You mean you weren't playing professional hockey?
No, I wasn't playing professional anything. Man. It is now 4-0 Diamondbacks. They're looking good over the Rockies. We just had that story last hour about demanding cocaine on an international flight to Prague. A former Detroit Red Wings player is the culprit. Somebody here on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line says, Damon, you don't demand cocaine when flying internationally? And it's funny that you brought that up because this is exactly what Bouton, Vixon, and I were talking about during the commercial break.
Doesn't everyone?
We completely agree that everything has its time and its place. Everything in moderation, kids. Make good choices. Make good choices. And I think part of life's good choices are knowing when to choose a stimulant or a depressant. Flying all the way to Prague, I can't think of anything that would be worse than being all coked up and stuck inside an airplane for like 12 hours. I mean, seriously. And look at it this way. I don't want to admit to which I've done, but let's just say I've been on an airplane for 12 hours, too. So no thank you.
No thank you. I'd want to chill.
Thank you. No, I would never demand cocaine on an international flight.
God, people, man.
As a matter of fact, I'm very proud to announce to everyone listening that my demanding cocaine days are far and few between and I haven't been around in years.
Okay. Good to know.
Good to know. It's great to know.
Thanks for sharing.
I feel like I've said too much. So is life. Yeah, Albie just sent a note over saying, it's going to be weird when we start seeing kids born in the 2000s playing professionally. No kidding, man. I mean, we're not far away. If we get a 19-year-old starting tonight for the Red Wings, that's two more years from now if you were born in 2000.
God, I feel old.
Ah, you got joie de vivre.
Thanks.
You got youthful enthusiasm. Yeah, seriously. The only thing I demand on a flight to Prague would be a couple cocktails, a few shots of NyQuil, maybe an Ambien. Like, I am going in the total opposite direction of, you're now free to use your cocaine. Ding. By the way, how do you get it on the plane even?
Yeah, no doubt.
Crotch jockey?
Well, I think there's other ways too, right?
Well, for a guy, there's really only one option.
I guess for a guy, I don't know. Not a guy.
You got two options. I just.
You know, cocaine is not my wheelhouse. That is past my knowledge.
Past your experience level?
Past my experience level. Good. I'm down with the NyQuil.
Down with the quill.
I'm down with the quill.
Would you do DayQuil?
I take my DayQuil at night and my NyQuil in the day. That's how baller I am.
Look out. Gianna's on that lean. Jeez. So this segment went a little bit off the rails, but, you know, off the rails is where you should be if you're flying to Prague. You should be totally off the rails.
Although I do want to go to Prague someday. It's on the list. Him on my flight, but
Prague's beautiful.
I hear it's lovely. It's very cool.
I've never been, but I hear good things. No, seriously, I do. I had a buddy of mine whose big idea was opening up a modeling agency in Prague just to meet women.
Oh, okay.
I was like, that's a great idea. But then I met Jillian. I thought she would frown upon such a thing.
I don't think she would have been on board.
Little Lord Fauntleroy on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line says, hey, I thought this was a family program. Let's move on from the drug talk. No, talk to your kids about drugs and tell them not to do rails of coke on flights to Prague. You'll be a better parent than if you don't have that conversation.
Don't do drugs.
Yeah, it's my job. It's the job of my show to raise your kid. There's only one kid this show's responsible for, and it's Gianna's. That's it. I keep that kid dripping in superheroes.
I keep my daddy's nuts.
And look how well I've raised him.
Family show. Family show right there.
I don't know where he got that from. Peter.
Being a guy. Just being a guy. Somebody's like, D. Bruce, when is Butcher Boy going to be back on the show? I would love to hear from Butcher Boy about this Niner team. It's funny that you ask, because we have got a couple of guests coming in studio tomorrow. The first group of guests coming in, Drew Schiller and Grant Lifman, who are the Warriors outsiders on NBC Bay Area. We thought we'd talk a little basketball with the two of them. We met them over at Media Day. Very nice to finally shake hands and say hello, and they listen, and I've seen their show too. They need a bigger budget. That is a one-camera operation.
Yeah.
Decorated by free signs that they hand away to fans walking into games. Like, it could use a little more, and I will encourage them to demand more of a budget starting tomorrow. You're covering a championship team. 97% of all NBA GMs thinks you need a little more set decoration.
Could happen. Well, that's cool. They're coming on. I won't be here. What a bummer.
I know. We're going to have Bonte hanging out with us. Picked the wrong day to quit sniffing glue, Gianna. So we're going to have Drew Schiller and Grant Lifman. I think they're both coming in around 3:30. They'll hang out with us till 4 o'clock. And then coming in at 6 o'clock tomorrow night is the Butcher Boy.
Perfect.
Butcher Boy's coming back in. I told you we would check up with him right after they went around the quarter pole. We've done that. 4 weeks in, here we are. I like it. We've also got Joe Staley from the 49ers joining us at 5 o'clock tomorrow. Let's go to Jose in Fremont. Jose, thank you very much for the call. What do you got?
DB, what's up? Gianna, what's cracking? Hey, that guy that must have texted you about Family Show, he must be a new listener because I don't know where he's coming from. Check this out.
Thank you.
You can't talk to your kids openly about drugs. So, you know what? I've talked to my kids openly. You know what? That way when my kids see that stuff in their presence, they're going to know what to do and what to expect.
There you go.
Rather than my kids get caught blindsided. Now, check this out. That's another thing that's wrong with this country. You try to, like, you're too sensitive. If you can't handle a drug conversation, you got to go, especially on this show. Now, check this out. Let's talk Raiders. DB, let's keep it real. Did you really think the Raiders were going to go 3-1 in the first four games? I really had them at 2-2, just not this bad and in this order. And I'm just hoping EJ can just squeeze two out of the next three and hopefully Carr's healthy enough, not risk his health, and comes back. I'm hoping, man.
I did have him at 3-1. I did think that they were going to lose in Denver. It's the no-show in Washington and then the no-show that they followed it up with in Denver that really disappointed me. 2-2, you can come back from that. But 2-2 with a backup quarterback and Marshawn not getting it done, that makes me nervous, Jose.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think about them taking a knee? And I know this thing's tired, but what do you think about them taking a knee and then Carr not taking a knee behind coaches at that Washington game? Do you think there's some kind of divide because of that? I noticed that right away pregame.
I can't speak to human nature and hurt feelings, but Jose, what I do know is there's not a guy in the NFL who's going to intentionally put a bad game on tape, intentionally not play hard for his franchise quarterback, when that guy is going to bring you to the promised land, more than any set of principles is going to. I mean, let's be totally honest. These guys are not in the NFL to make public displays. That just happens to be something they're doing right now. They're in the NFL to win, to compete, to get paid, to get a Super Bowl. And I reject that premise for two reasons. Number one, it's unprofessional. And number two, if it were real, everybody would have to be fired. Everybody involved would have to be fired immediately. Waved, cut, so long, goodbye, get out. I just can't believe it. I cannot let my mind be that full of conspiracy theory where, I mean, here's the deal. I know that it's very gauche to take a knee. If you do not take a knee, you are not pro police brutality or pro racial inequality. So for Derek to not take a knee, to me, I don't understand where the huge insult would be. You know, some people feel a certain way about the National. Let me tell you this right now. Let's say we were taking knees to end world hunger, puppy abuse, and all child sickness. Like, I could officially get behind the charities that end all hunger, all kicking a puppy, and all child illnesses.
Definitely.
I would support that, but you're not going to catch me taking a knee in an anthem for any of that. Damon, why wouldn't you take a knee? It's because my father served in Vietnam, and it changed him and ruined him forever. And I know that he wouldn't want me to do that, and I honor my father by continuing to be the son he raised.
And you have to respect his decision. You know, Derek Carr, that's his choice. You know, it just might be that he has the same beliefs that you do. Maybe.
Here's the deal. I'm going to respect your decision, and you got to respect my decisions too. There are so many different people co-opting their own agenda around what originally started as a police protest that this now, and we talked about this on the day it started, it represents too many things and it has no end in sight. But I will say this, you could see the NFL teams this past week who wanted to make a big deal out of something. And the Niners put out a press release to explain how they lined up and just get over yourselves. If you do it because it personally means something to you. If you don't do it, that's fine too. But this, now you got teams trying to victory lap how stylized their protest was over your just cobbled together at the last minute protest. Just go win games. That's all I'm watching for. But there's bigger things afoot. I would agree with you. I'm here for the football. That's it. And by the way, if your team is there just for the football too, it's got a better chance of winning than the team that was there for the football and the statement. And that's the harsh realities of football.
We can't keep making excuses for the Raiders struggling. It's what's happening on the field.
Thank you very much. Damon, I never heard the name Little Lord Fauntleroy before, and I can't stop laughing at it. Ah, Little Lord Fauntleroy is a...
Shrek, right?
No, it's not Shrek.
Isn't there his name? I have to look that up. Farquaad is
That's
Shrek.
That's Farquaad.
Oh, I've had it. I've had the vision all completely wrong.
Little Lord Fauntleroy is a literary reference to a kid who was raised in a prim and proper existence and never had any hardship his whole life. Couldn't take any criticisms. I actually don't even know where it originated, but I remember it originated from a novel. Well, thanks. Everything originates from a novel. 1885 was its publication date. Written by, name of the novel. What else you got for me in my ear, Albie? Francis Hodgson Burnett. Not Jim Barnett. Francis Hodgson Burnett. Name of the book was? Little Lord Fauntleroy. There you go. Let's go to John in Oakland. John, you're on 95.7 The Game. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Damon?
How you doing?
Hey, good, man. I'm here to tell everybody to easy on the panic side, man. I mean, I've seen this act way too many times. They won two in a row. They lost two in a row. I remember a year where we won four in a row and we looked like a juggernaut. And then they proceeded to lose four straight games. And everyone started to panic. Little did we know that they righted the ship and went to the Super Bowl that year. So is zero panic mode. I know everybody's nervous about Derek, but it's an injury that he will be coming back from. And it's not how you play in September. It's how you play in December. I mean, a lot of teams start off slow. A lot of teams start off hot. And we all know it's who's playing better at the end of the year is who wins, not who's playing better September and October. So I'm not worried about it. We all didn't expect them to go 7-4 like they did last year. So it's not about going 12-4. It's not about 13-3 or 14-2. It's about just playing the best football come December is all I'm worried about.
John, there's awful lot of truth in your phone call. No doubt about it. Thank you very much for weighing in and calming down. You're never as bad as your worst game. You're never as good as your best game is the right approach. There's no doubt about it. Jack Del Rio says it's just real simple. Find a way to win. It's a week in, week out league. Get back in that win column. Start feeling good right away.
Bottom line is, as a football team, you know, we've got to find a way. They've got a bunch of guys on our IR too. I mean, we all deal with different things in this league week to week, and it's a week to week league. And for us, it's about putting together a great week of preparation and going out and competing on Sunday.
Piggybacking on that last call, written by James Archuleta, who his website, Black Hole Banter. It's a good one for Raider fans to check out. I'm sure if you're a big Raider fan, you're already following James on Twitter. But he writes, you know, if the Raiders weren't as bad as they were in Washington, D.C., but really only a few players stepped up to the plate in Denver, not the whole team or even one side of the ball. And at the end of the day, the reason the game was so close had more to do with the Broncos shooting themselves in the foot than it did the Raiders doing anything impressive. Aside from the 64-yard touchdown pass, Carr to Johnny Holton, the Raiders' offense only put up 190 yards. I know the Denver defense is elite, but this was supposed to be an elite Raider offense, too. And for the second week in a row, the offense looked average at best. The offensive line once again struggled to look like the unit that's supposed to be one of the best in the league. Amari Cooper was once again taken out of the game through double teams. They failed to establish a running game once again. And once again, the Raider rookie OC just got outcoached. They're not playing like a team that's a lock for the playoffs, let alone a lock to make a run in the playoffs. Something needs to change and needs to change as soon as possible, because if it doesn't, this season will be a lost season for this young and talented team. And it is now 6-0 Diamondbacks. Descalso. Daniel Descalso. Yeah, that's another name I have trouble saying. Home run. Pride of St. Francis High.
Oh.
Descalso. Grew up in San Carlos, they keep on telling me. Went to UC Davis. Bay Area guy. Bomb. Good for him. Diamondbacks 6-0 over the Rockies. Nobody should be panicking. But at the same time, we're just doing the math. And we're looking at this injury, how long it's going to take Derek to come back, what they need to do before Derek comes back. And you do not want to be so far behind the eight ball that when Derek is able to come back, it doesn't matter anymore because you're three games back in your own damn division. Like, that would be bad for this young team is still in a very young season. And what I think the urgency that we're trying to impress upon what's coming up this weekend is based on the fact that it could all go south fast. Who are you chasing? One team that already beat you, the Denver Broncos. Another team that looks to be the best in all of football that you historically have had a lot of trouble knocking down with Derek Carr as your starter. The Kansas City Chiefs are officially on the radar, folks. So if you're chasing the both of those, now you guys got to assume you're going to sweep the Chargers. You're going to get the Raiders at home. And you're going to have to, what, sweep the Kansas City Chiefs as well. If you lose to Baltimore, if you then turn around and struggle again the next week, this could all spin out of control way too fast. And speaking of spinning out of control way too fast, obviously Las Vegas spun out of control way too fast due to the pure amount of weaponry that this guy was able to procure. Steve Kerr decided today that he wasn't going to be intimidated by the stick to sports crowd, and he addressed it from a practice court in China. Here is Steve Kerr.
The simple fact in my mind is that nobody on earth needs to own a military assault rifle. That's a fact. And to point to the Second Amendment as a reason why somebody should be able to own a military assault, semi-automatic weapon, is kind of insane.
And here's the deal. He touched on that Second Amendment, which for many people is the third rail, Gianna. It's a non-starter, this, that, the other thing. Well, he expanded on that thought.
But I would argue that our founding fathers, if at the time there were military assault rifles and our citizens were massacring each other, they probably would have said, you know what, we're not going to allow that. And so we have to account for the change in technology, the change in our world. I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe people should be able to protect themselves. I believe they should be able to own a handgun or a hunting rifle. But I also believe that mentally ill people should not be able to buy guns. I believe there should be serious training for anybody buying a gun. I believe that there should be universal background checks. It should be a process so that we can keep people safe.
And, you know, to me, I completely believe that as a law-abiding, trained, educated, smart, careful person, you should be able to own a gun freely in your own home. I think that a lot of the Second Amendment is very important to the foundation of our country. It's one of the building blocks of what we are, but they just weren't, weaponry simply, not only did it not exist, it was never even imagined that it's available now. And just pumping the brakes is a good idea. And just to let you know, historically, we've been very good at pumping the brakes when we think something is incredibly dangerous. Threatening an airplane became so dangerous that after 9/11, we changed all sorts of procedures. Why wouldn't we ever do that in this instance?
9/11 happens, what do? We take our shoes off and we go to the airport. We can't bring water through. We do much more extensive background checks of people coming into the country, right? We even have a Muslim ban, even though there's no proof that, you know, that's going to protect us. We do all kinds of stuff. We talk about building a wall, right? We do everything to protect our citizens, unless it's one of our own citizens mauling each other and massacring each other with a gun because of the Second Amendment. So why can't we just adjust to what's happened and come in with some common sense gun control and background checks and common sense stuff to protect our citizens?
Common sense. Look, I completely believe in your Second Amendment rights, but I also believe I have the right to not be shot.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just important that we have a dialogue, not a shouting match, not an argument, not a, I'm only here to present my case, not listen to your side of the story. We need to respectfully discuss this in a way that affects not only the continued embracing of our guaranteed rights, but take those rights and apply them to the modern world that is now giving us information in real time. For those of you who say there's nothing that can be done, well, things have been done in every other democratic country in the world that has changed their situation from our situation. And it just seems like something that we should talk about no matter what arena you're in. The world of sports, the world of politics, these two worlds have collided and there's no pulling them back apart. So I thank Steve Kerr for his thoughtful commentary. I hope you thank him too, whether you agree or disagree. And I respect you and your position. I would like you to respect mine. Is that too much to ask for? I hope not. Hey, you can join Dan Dibley Saturday at River Island just off I-5 in Lathrop from 12 to 2 for a special live broadcast, plus games and prizes, including a signed Amari Cooper jersey. What if you drop the pen? Just kidding. There's going to be a Janikowski football and more. For details, you can visit the events page at 957thegame.com. Bruce Jenkins is the grand sage of all Bay Area writers. He loves playoff baseball. He loves football. He loves the fact that I'm sure Cal put up a little bit of a fight last weekend in Oregon. Now they're going to be taking on the sixth-ranked Washington Huskies going forward. The sports world wrapped up by a total pro. Coming up here on the Dame Bruce Show.
Now, back to the Dame and Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Bruce Jenkins covers sports for the San Francisco Chronicle. Good enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Before we get into the world of sports, Bruce, I have to start with you attacking two words that I really like, and I figured as a writer you would like as well. I saw you on Twitter today throwing salt on the words Schadenfreude and Zeitgeist. I love these words. What's wrong with these words? They're great words.
You know, actually, I use them in almost every sentence, and I was just fooling with people. But I mean, who talks like that? I saw both of those words in the same story. I'm going, wait a minute now. For heaven's sake, you got people scurrying to the dictionary over here.
Absolutely, they are. You know, and they're trying to get in all their 50-cent vocabulary words to make them sound make themselves sound a little bit more intelligent.
And exactly.
When that happens, I get great levels of Schadenfreude.
Well, you do. I think we all do.
We got playoff baseball, and tonight is a comfortable 6-1 lead for the Diamondbacks over the Rockies. And I guess that kind of brings us to the Giants, because we all know these Dodgers are in there. Very, very pointed words from Brian Sabian, Bruce Bochy, and Bobby Evans about this year, where they basically said, look, we had a last-place season, but we're not a last-place club, and we're going to come back with a vengeance. Sabian sounded upset. I like an upset Brian Sabian.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, going all the way back to his days with the Yankees, you know, he's a winner. He's used to winning, and he's the guy that was his scouting director when they drafted Jeter and Rivera and Posada and all those guys, and he came to San Francisco and immediately traded Matt Williams and got everybody upset, but it turned out to be a good move, and he's a winning baseball guy, you know, and he sounds like the mafia, doesn't he? His voice is like, way down here, I'll tell you what we're going to do, you know, but he's a hard-ass guy, and he's embarrassed by what happened. He's not the GM anymore, technically, but, you know, he's still kind of the kingpin, and it was embarrassing to all of them. And now, you know, what they're going to actually be able to do, I'm not sure, but they're going to try. They're going to try really hard.
When it comes to Brian Sabian's gravelly voice, you don't have to take Bruce's word for it.
One of the things you realize, we had a last-place season. That can happen in sports. Like you have a washed year in life, but we're not last-place people, and we're not a last-place organization. We're the furthest thing from that.
It does sound an awful lot like, as long as your business doesn't interfere with my business, I wish you the very best.
He's the godfather for everything.
He really is. Hey, Matt Cain, you know, the glory days ended a long time ago. He hung on as long as he could. That's not the guy I'm going to remember. That 0.00 2010 postseason ERA, the guy who absolutely threw the only perfect game in franchise history. Fantastic. But if in a career, the perfect way to walk off is in a game that encapsulates your entire career, how it ended for Matt Cain was kind of perfect in a tragic way, wasn't it, Bruce?
Yeah, it really was. The bullpen, you know, once again, he pitches 5 shutout innings. Perfect, right? I mean, he could even theoretically get the win. But, you know, the guy had a losing record, which is really hard to believe for an iconic guy. You ask anybody in the National League, any player, manager, you know, executive about Matt Cain, they go, oh, yeah, there's a stud. I sure wish we had him. And year after year, start after start, almost literally struggling to get run support, it was really kind of bizarre. But, you know, and the postseason record is really what you have to look at. I mean, I had people, you know, emailing me, oh, what's the big deal? Is we had a losing record. I go, well, try to run that by the guys in the clubhouse and, you know, remembering what he did do. And his overall postseason ERA is minuscule. And he's a total big game pitcher. And he was a very big guy in the clubhouse, very influential guy. which you need to have on a winning team. So I don't think he has a lot of regrets. He's got three rings. He put in, you know, I think 12 years with the Giants and went out in a ton of sentiment and tribute, which was really nice.
Got a free sandwich waiting for him any place he walks into in San Francisco the rest of his life. And there's a lot of value there, too.
There really is.
Got Bruce Jenkins. Yeah, Bruce Jenkins from the San Francisco Chronicle. Let's see. There's really nothing to talk about from the A's standpoint. We just hopefully they have a good offseason and start adding players and behaving like a Major League Baseball team. Last night in the Bronx, we saw an on-edge Yankee Stadium that was loud and as nasty as like 1998 old Yankee Stadium used to be. That was fun to see again.
That was, the energy was just crackling right through the television. It was nonstop. Even if the Twins took a 3-0 lead, that didn't shut the place up like at all. And maybe for a couple minutes, but I mean, next thing you know, they're right back at it. And I'll tell you, I was there quite a bit. Excuse me, in the late '90s for the postseason World Series, and just all the way back to the 1980s and going to the Yankee Stadium with the A's. And there's nothing like it, Damon. You know that. It's intense. If you're a Yankee hater, maybe you don't get it, but there's nothing like being in the Bronx in October when the Yankees are good. And, you know, they pulled that game out. I thought that was great. I really enjoyed just even being at home, you could feel what was going on there.
By the way, while we've been talking, the Diamondbacks have taken a serious bite, or excuse me, the Rockies have taken a serious bite out of the Diamondbacks' lead. It's now a 6-4 game, just a 2-run game in Arizona, and that can change quick. That place is a launching pad, so no reason to just wrap it up and see you next round, Diamondbacks. They still got a long way to go here. The Raiders have a long way to go, Bruce, to get back on track, and they need to do it with a backup quarterback. What shot do you give E.J. Manuel actually impressing us while he is the substitute?
Well, I think there's probably going to be a coming-down-to-earth experience for him, I would think. He was very good, I thought, you know, coming in out of nowhere, coming in cold and you know, threw some excellent short passes, moved the team down the field, and I think that was pretty encouraging. He's not going to be Derek Carr, but I don't think he's, you know, he's not a stiff. He looked like he's ready for the moment, and now he's ready for an extended stay, which is not like coming in for two or three quarters. It's going to be his team. I can't believe Carr's only going to be out 2 weeks with a fracture in his back. That just doesn't make any sense. It sounds like at least a month. And it's hard to say where it goes from here, but you know they need to get the running game going to take a little pressure off of him, and they need Cooper to catch the ball, and Crabtree when he comes back to catch the ball for God's sake.
Bruce Jenkins, San Francisco Chronicle. Can we get you a glass of water, Bruce? Can we?
I turned. I had a birthday today. I won't tell you which one it is.
Happy birthday!
Right now, I'm like,
well, that's okay. First of all, we would have done. I mean, like, you should be out celebrating. You should be doing dinner with the family if that's not already done or about to happen. I hope it is. Happy birthday, my friend.
Well, I told my friends, I go, what are you doing? I'm going on Damon Bruce. I'm like, oh, perfect. God, I'm so envious.
Yeah, what a great birthday treat. I mean, wow.
Hey, it's 10 minutes on the radio. How bad can it be? It's great.
How about you for your birthday staying up till deep in the middle of the night to watch the Warriors in China? Will you be doing that?
I think so. And if not, there's always tape in the morning. I'm definitely taping the game. I think I'm good for that after the baseball game. I'm anxious to see how that works out. The Warriors are like gods in China. I think about, you know, halfway through a 14-hour flight, they're thinking, what the heck, is this really worth it? But, you know, they get over there and they're treated like kings. And, you know, Klay Thompson is a legend over there. That's how much they like the Warriors.
Nothing there's.
Yeah, and it's I think it's very cool that they're doing it, and you know, the exhibition games, you know, I was at the opener, and I don't remember a thing from the game. I really don't. Maybe a couple of moments, but it's just good to see the season underway, and I definitely will watch it at some point, let's put it that way.
There you go. Me too. We will have it on tape, and we'll be talking about it tomorrow with both Drew Schiller and Grant Liffman. Warriors Outsiders are stopping by the show tomorrow. We've got Bruce Jenkins here now. Bruce, it would be negligent of me not to tap into your experience, a man who lived through some of the most politically turbulent times really ever seen, but we haven't quite seen sports and politics intersect like it was. We had Steve Kerr go on a very thoughtful, expansive, detailed explanation of what he'd like to see come out of Las Vegas after that tragedy. Did you ever think we would be at a place in time where leaders of sports teams were this publicly expressive about their political beliefs? I mean, it's really something else that we're here.
Yeah, and it's really kind of, I think every pro team, you know, feels a responsibility to do something, because just about everybody is outraged about something. They're outraged about gun control or the lack of saying. They're outraged about the president. They're outraged about, you know, racial injustice and the police unfair treatment of African Americans. There's so much going on. And people are really rising up. And, you know, Steve Kerr is right at the forefront of it. I think a lot of coaches may have thought, you know, I'm just going to stay out of this. You know, this is not really my realm. And for some coaches, it's probably best that they do that. But Kerr is, and Greg Popovich, who's been priceless in his rants about Trump, are really setting a standard here. And they're doing it for the players. They're making their players feel a lot more comfortable. I mean, the Warriors are, you know, between Curry and David West and Iguodala, they're as outspoken as anyone. And it's been really interesting to follow, you know, as far as how people are going about it. I will always claim that the Warriors are ahead of this game. They're doing it with their words that get videotaped and people can hear, or they're doing it with Steve Kerr is writing these fabulous pieces. And I think, you know, and they've said it themselves, that means so much more than just taking a knee during the anthem, which can be completely misconstrued by people who think you're ripping the military or the country itself. And they're like, well, why don't you just move out of the country if you don't like it? You know, and it's deceiving as much as their hearts are in it. So, you know, Steve Kerr, God bless him, I tell you, he's really come to the forefront of this thing, and he lets you know that, you know, stick to sports. That those days are over. I mean, I've even, you know, done a few things myself. I'm about the least political guy there is, and I'm certainly never going to pretend that I'm going to suddenly be a big pundit on this thing. But it affects all of us, and you know, when we're covering a team, and this is a story that's right in front of you, it's pretty hard to ignore.
Bruce, thanks as always for being you, and thanks for joining us on your birthday. Really appreciate that. We hope the rest of it is a very, very happy one. Go enjoy.
Thanks so much, Damon. Talk soon.
Thank you. Bruce Jenkinson, San Francisco Chronicle. Albie says he's got a little music to go along with Sabian. All right, we will get to that. Oh, I thought we had to go out, so I was going to do that coming up. But if this works right here, without a doubt. Let's go live to Brian Sabian.
One of the things you realize, we had a last place season. That can happen in sports. Like you have a lost year in life. But we're not last place people, and we're not a last place organization. We're the furthest thing from that. We know that the Dodgers are about year to year. And quite frankly, while Colorado and Arizona were on the rise, they too were in a precarious situation last year. This isn't a blow it up. This isn't a rebuild. We hope it's a reset. What it's going to take and how that plays out to go from where we finished to being competitive to a playoff team, that's incumbent upon all of us to figure out.
Hey, I got an idea. Why don't you make Derek Jeter an offer for Giancarlo Stanton that he can't refuse?
Back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Coming up next, we got our friends Townie and Guru taking you to 11 o'clock tonight. And isn't that when Warriors basketball is going to happen? How about this for a good night on TV? You got baseball playoffs, and this is a game all of a sudden. Like, I wasn't going to go home and watch 6-0. But I will go home and watch 6-4. The Rockies have battled their way back into this one-game wildcard National League playoff game. So you got baseball playoffs on TV tonight. You got the Sharks on TV tonight.
Giannis does
score! You got that coming up tonight. And when that game's over, you wait around a little bit. Warriors from China. Also, a new South Park tonight. Scar!
As is, of course, the tradition.
I like it. I like it an awful lot. Gianna, what's for dinner tonight?
Good question. I don't know. I didn't plan anything for dinner tonight. I got to finish packing and whatnot. It's on the husband who's staying home, so.
So, my wife is leaving for Palm Springs and a girl bachelorette party that she is, like, responsible for. She is throwing it down, so it's going to be a good time. My wife knows how to party. It's going to be a great time.
Cool.
We are very responsible, though, and we want to make sure that we use everything in the fridge before she leaves. And so tonight I get zoodles.
Zoodles?
Zucchini noodles.
Oh, yummy. Those are good.
Yeah, this is not bad. It's like I got to do, you know, eat better, and that's one of the things that isn't too bad.
Yeah, that actually is pretty tasty. Do you put a little something on it, a little sauce?
Oh, yeah. You treat it just like pasta.
Okay, cool.
We'll even cook a little sausage and put it in there, too, and you'd be fooled. You wouldn't know that you weren't eating pasta.
Good for you. I'm glad you do pretty good.
But it's zucchini. And
it's
this
healthy.
Is,
good
this
for you.
This is how you get me to eat my vegetables. You
I like it.
Have to trick me.
My husband's not so good on dinner nights, Damon. Last night it was bean burritos. The night before it was broccoli and macaroni and cheese.
Sounds wonderful. games that we're watching here are just nuts. You know, it's all about starting pitching, right? Isn't that playoff baseball? It's all about your starting pitching. Well, it wasn't last night in the Bronx. You got everybody knocked out early. Greinke and Gray are both out of this game now, right? Is that Greinke's not still in there, is he? Everyone's out of the game now. Yep, bullpen game galore. Here's a fun stat for you. Madison Bumgarner threw more innings by himself in last year's wild card game than the four wild card starters have this year combined. Mad Bum went 9 innings in the wild card game last year. This year, your four wild card starters, Gray, Greinke, Severino, and who was that last night? Irvin Santana, thank you very much. Irvin Santana combined for 7 1/3. That's crazy. Someone's saying here on the text line, Damon, can't let your wife go do that. What do you not? I want her to go nuts. Come home and realize being married to a steady Eddie human being like Damon Bruce really was a good choice for her after all.
Absolutely.
Actually, pretty nice little Saturday. We're going to go to Home Depot. Yeah, buy some wallpaper, maybe get some flooring, stuff like that. Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond, I don't know.
It's going to get nuts.
We'll have enough time.
Oh, someone on the text line tells me that there's no new South Park tonight. Oh, I'm not happy about that one bit. Someone says, Damon, it's a little late to eat dinner. What are you talking about? I'll be home by 7:30. What do you want me to eat dinner on the air for you right here? Have it delivered?
This is your dinner. Our dinner starts at like 7:30 or 8.
Right?
Yeah.
It's been a very good show today. Interesting show. A lot of interesting sound. Certainly Steve Kerr takes the cake and all of the comments he had about what happened in Las Vegas from China. Somebody asked me on the text line, does this Vegas shooting complicate anything for the Raiders? I don't think so. And that's still a long ways away. And like, I mean, it's just so sad. But there's nothing that ever stops us and changes us about this. So this will be out of the headlines by Monday. I mean, it's just a sad state of the world that we live in. And it'll be brushed aside for fun, fancy, easy-to-digest stories. Someone says, Damon, no one needs to hear your uninformed liberal opinion. Let me just tell you that you're jumping to conclusions and you're using buzzwords because you listen to the wrong radio stations. Substitute the word liberal for educated, because that seems to be the commonality that most liberals share. Were you a college-educated person? Do you come from a city? Do you not live in a rural pasture? Chances are, if that is who you are, you might just be a liberal, which is a word that actually is just as patriotic as the word patriotism, but has been compounded and hijacked by people who want to change the narrative. So thank you for calling me a liberal. Yes, I am a book reader. I'm a thinker. I was educated, and my parents loved me as a child and taught me compassion. That's me. That's who I am. But don't tell anybody on the radio. It's good if they think I'm some big ogre.
Yeah.
Which I'll be back to being tomorrow.
Perfect.
We're going to miss you the rest of the week. Gianna's got the rest of the week off. She goes to celebrate her grandma who's turning 102. Phenomenal. Or she's just
visiting.
She already
turned 100. Oh, okay. I'm just visiting.
Just visiting.
Yeah.
Either way, that's a great visit. Go have a good time. Thanks to Mike Sando, Bucky Brooks, Dan Dockich, and Bruce Jenkins for visiting with us today. Bouton Vixen, c'est si bon, magnifique, as always. Thank you very much. Gianna, thank you. Albie, thank you. And remember, Townie and Guru coming up next. Sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
That guy? Scared!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.